Father, we just want to say thank you for another wonderful day. I want to thank you for being present here with us today, being present in us and with us. For your word says, where two or three of us are gathered, there you are present in our midst. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, and to show us things to come. Father, thank you for making us able ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Open our ears to hear you. Open our eyes to see you. And help us to guard our hearts to keep what you teach us today. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Can we open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4? First Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. If I may read. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riots, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Praise the Lord. Here we see that the Apostle Peter starts by telling us that Christ has suffered for us in the flesh. And it tells us that we should arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. Why? Because he that has suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin. And it says that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And this is where we want to concentrate on. The rest of the time of his time in the flesh. And that shows us that we have limited time. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible makes that very clear. So the rest of our time here in the flesh, what are we going to do with it? It tells us that we should no longer live this rest of our time to the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. So he tells us what to do, live to the will of God. And we want to deal with that. So what does it mean to live to the will of God? Let us look at 2 Corinthians 15, verse 5. Yes, 15, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5. Okay, 1 Corinthians, let me see.
13.
16.
That's fine.
No, let me see. No.
1 Corinthians
15, 5. No. No, let me see. And that he died for all, that they... And that he died for all... Let me just read the scripture, then I'll try and locate where it is. It says, and that he died for all, that they which live should henceforth live not unto themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. So the scripture here is telling us that he died for all. and that we which live, we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but beg your pardon?
2 Corinthians 5:15.
Okay, thank you very much. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Yes. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So it's so clear here what we're to live for. And again, just like Peter said, he says, do not live for yourself anymore. Live for the person who died for you and rose again. And why is that? We will see in 1 Corinthians 1:8-6. 1 Corinthians 8:1-6. Again, I'm wrong. No, I'm wrong again. 1 Corinthians. And this is 2 Corinthians. Beg your pardon? Yes, let me just try and get it. Okay. 1 Corinthians 8:1. Sorry, just a second. Yes, it says, for there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things. For there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things. And through whom we exist. For there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things.
1 Corinthians 8:6.
Thank you very much. 1 Corinthians 8:6. So we see clearly that there is one God, he's the Father, and it is from whom everything, anything and everything we look around, and for whom we exist. So it is again clear, we exist for God. We live to please God. And then there's one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and it is through him we exist. So the reason we are here today is because of Jesus. And that's why it says we should live unto the one who died for us. So this must be settled in our minds as believers. Why am I living today? Because in life, if we don't know the purpose, then we can easily go in any direction. For example, if a Boeing 747 was seen on a runway, and maybe we backtrack, and it's maybe 16th century, they've never seen it before, they wouldn't know the purpose. They might sleep on it, they might cannibalize it. And so the same thing with human beings. If we don't know our purpose as believers, we might live a careless life. But once we understand that the reason we're alive is because of Jesus, and he died for us, he suffered in the flesh for us, so now we should no longer live to ourselves. We should live for him. That must be settled in the life of a believer. Once that is not settled, then he cannot have an overcoming life. So we now go to the next plan. What is God's purpose for us? Now we know that we live by Him. All things exist by Him. We should live for Him. So what is God's plan and purpose for us? In 2 Corinthians 3:18, I hope I'm right this time. 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. 17, 18, yes. Now, it says, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is God's purpose. That all of us are changed into the same glory, into the same image. Please note that word image. And from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And if we now keep this purpose that we live to please God, we exist because of Him. And what does God want to do? He wants us to be changed from glory to glory into His own image. Who would reject that? Who would say, I would not cooperate with that? And how did He do it? Before I go on to tell us how He did it, He says, let's look at Romans 8:29. He says, For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Isn't this wonderful news? Those of us whom God foreknew, He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Again, you see the word image of His Son, so that He, our Lord Jesus Christ, will be the firstborn amongst many brethren. And that's why the scripture says somewhere, we are joint heirs with our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Now, this is really good news. It should make anybody, we're now clear, we exist for God. God's purpose for us is also clear. That we should be transformed from image to image, from glory to glory, to His own image. He's now telling us again that He predestined us. It's not that it was a mistake. He planned it before time. Even before the foundation of the world, He knew us and predestined that we should be conformed to the image of His Son. So we know what we're going to be like, no matter what we see ourselves like now. And then when we remember that Christ suffered for us to enable us to attain this position, we will look at the instruction in Colossians 3, 8 to 10. I'm sorry there are so many scriptures, but one of those things. It says, but now ye put off all these, anger, put them off, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, put it off. Lie not one to another. Don't tell each other lies. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. It's not that you are going to put on the new man. No. It says you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So you see that again, we have put on the new man. This new man is renewed in knowledge. You must know. After the image of Him that created him. So again, we can see that we're being made into the image of God. But then, when we remember that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God, who made him, our Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we should be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it says he has presented us to God, holy, unblameable, irreprovable. That's the work Jesus has done. And then the Bible tells us that we are the workmanship of God. God made us specially. And we are created in Christ Jesus. And the purpose of creating us for good works, which God again prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So this is a glorious destiny for us. We're going to be like Christ. We're made to be like Christ. We have put off the old man. We have now put on the new man. Another scripture says, we have put on Christ. Those of us who have been baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. So in the spiritual realm, when they see us, they see Christ. He's the vine, we are the branches. But you see, he says, and in verse 10 of Colossians, he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after him that created him. If this is not your knowledge, if you don't know this and know it for certain, so that nothing can shake you, you remain steadfast. This is who I am. This is what God has done for me. There must be a knowing. So you won't shake anymore. You'll be so convinced. You'll stand so firm. You know where your future is. You know the purpose you were created for. You know who created you. So this gives us great joy. Then in Philippians 2:13, you might say, oh, how will I do it? Yes, God has come. Well, look at how I'm seeing myself. He gives us further good news. He says, for it is God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. You see it? All these good plans God has for us, he's not even asking us to do it ourselves. It is God himself who is working in us to will. That is, when you even want to will it, you don't will it in your own strength. You remember that we were saved by grace through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It was a gift of God. God who started the good work in us, he will see it to the end. So God is the one who is working in us right now to will and to do his good pleasure. So the whole package is complete. He has given us his own Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. And so what do we do? Rejoice, rejoice forevermore. This is an assurance. Now, again, God is so kind. He tells us what this is all about. I'm working in you to will and to do your good pleasure. Then you now ask yourself, how is he working in me to will and to do his good? Do I just stay without doing anything and just empty myself of any thoughts? No. He tells us the answer in Colossians 1:27. It says, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. And you remember we said that we were created in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We were created in Christ Jesus. Now he's telling you that Christ is in you, and that is your hope of glory. That is your hope of glory, Christ in you. And so, like our pastor said this morning, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. He's the one by whom all things were made, the one for whom all things were made, the one by whom all things were made, the one who upholds all things by the word of his mouth, the breath of his power. Now, the one by whom all things consist. How can anything fight its maker? Is that possible? Never. So now, we must remember that this is where we're being called to be in his image, to be in his likeness. And it depends on whether we know it. But the Bible tells us that by two immutable things by which God cannot lie, God is not a man that he should lie. So he created everything by the word of his mouth. Let there be light, there was light. Now he's saying, this is what I'm saying about you. So, do you want to say, no, God, you are lying? Or do you say, yes, Lord, I agree? That's why in 3:10 it says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image. And so, I will now come to the image. The image. In Galatians 3:27, it says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So you can imagine, just as you are putting on these clothes today, the minute we got baptized into Christ, we clothed ourselves with Christ. And what great picture that puts in our minds, in our hearts. Because we know our Father cannot lie. So, will I continue to see myself as ordinary? Sometimes I try to think of it. That woman with the issue of blood has spent all her money on the doctors of her time. And they could not help her anymore. But she said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Now, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same Jesus is in me. I am created in him. Do I believe this? Am I living by this? Am I renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created me? And so it brings us to the question of image. The Lord has been leading me, and I've been so grateful that this question of image. And so what's the importance of image? Let's look at Romans 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the 12:1, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have agreed that God is the one working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. God has done all these good things for us. But now God gives us an instruction. Your body belongs to me. Your spirit belongs to me. Now, you must do something with your mind. First of all, present your body as a living sacrifice. Then, secondly, renew your mind. And that is the only way. And how? What do you gain by renewing your mind? Be ye transformed. You see, we're being changed from image to image. And this is our own role. We're being changed from glory to glory, to the image of Christ. Now, this is our role. We renew our minds. And what does the mind have to do? Image. Once you say food, image comes in the brain. Once you say weak, image comes. And so we go to Ephesians. In Ephesians, it tells us, Ephesians 6. Please keep in mind the fact that we are to renew our minds. It says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, again, we'll see the importance of image. It says, we're in a warfare. 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So all these good things God has done for us, there is an enemy. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. He doesn't want us to prove what is the good and acceptable will of God. In our lives, he doesn't want us to prove it. He wants to render us useless, to be like mere mortals. He doesn't want us to inherit these promises through faith and patience. So it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not that person that you think is your enemy. He says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, wherefore? Take on. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. He now tells us this armor that we should put on. But again, remember, it says, those of us who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So this armor is also putting on Christ. When the enemy sees you, he sees Christ. You must be conscious of that. And once you are conscious of that, then you are not afraid anymore. You will remember that he has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. You have this. And so you know it, and you stand by it. I have power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing can by any means hurt me. You are sure, you are strong in this, in the Lord, and in the power of his might. And then, we have the whole armor now. And again, there's an image. The image of me clothed in the armor of God. I'm not just going out. I have put on Christ. Then, 2 Corinthians 10:4. Having told us about the armor, he says, the next thing you must do, 2 Corinthians 10:4. The next thing you must do, you have your armor, then the weapons of your warfare. So we see ourselves now armed. But before the arm, we have the armor. We are defended. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. It's not a physical fight. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is full. So, back to where we started from. Christ suffered for us. He says we should arm ourselves with this same mind. We must be prepared to suffer. And you see that it says, we revenge all disobedience when our obedience is full. We must, by all means, we can't get perfect overnight. So there are some times we have sleep, especially in the beginning, when we're still carnal Christians. But now it says we must be ready to revenge all that failure we failed at that time. But look at it, it says, every imagination, casting it down. Now, imagination goes to do with image. God made man in his image and likeness. So what image do you have of yourself? Do you have an image of yourself as made in the image and likeness of God? Then, now, we learned that, fast forward to the New Testament, where Jesus Christ is the express image of God. And we are created in him. So what does that make us? It makes us also beneficiaries of that image of Jesus Christ. You remember we said, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. He's conformed us to the image that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. So where that image and likeness that God originally made us is restored back to us, we must not be conformed to this world, because the world wants us to see ourselves as powerless, as ordinary. It's not possible. When the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, I just repeat it. I don't really believe it. When the Bible says, with God, all things are possible, is it really? All things are possible to him that believes. I know, yes, that's what God says. And we just leave it at that. But no, God's word is sure. He doesn't play with his word. And so, are we ready to transform by renewing our minds? Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they agree? It says no. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Without agreeing with God, submitting to him, you cannot resist the devil. And that's why that Colossians says, renewed in the knowledge. Colossians 3 says, having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And Christ suffered that we might gain this. And we must be ready to suffer to sustain it. It's a constant duty. This is our own duty. He's finished everything. So, Galatians 2:20, it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's not going to be. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the life I am now living. And then in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Don't you know that Christ is in you? Don't take it lightly. The same Jesus that walked on water, the same Jesus that made everything that we see, he's in each and every one of us who believes, who's been made a new creature. So what are we going to do with him? Are we just going to say, yes, Christ is in me, but I will live like an ordinary person? No. God created us for good works, which he prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. It says, in the past, back to where we started from, 1 Peter 4, in the past, we wrought the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. And I tell you, the biggest idol was self. What can I do for myself? How can I be better than the rest? And so we continued in this path. But now he's telling us that Christ is the head. And we all are members of his body. 1 Corinthians 12:12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So you now see that each believer, whether in Spain, in Nigeria, in Ghana, we are all one. And once you agree with God, because God cannot lie, you can never be jealous of a fellow believer again. It goes. And the minute you see jealousy, envy, malice, you remind yourself, I am one with this person. How can I be envying myself? I was discussing with my wife the other day from the conference. I said, it struck me when God says, we're going to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And who is the bride? And who is the groom?
The church.
So he's going to join us with his son. And he says, husband and wife have become one. And I told my wife, I said, do I really see myself as one with you? I'll be honest, because the Bible says God desires truth in the inward parts. I'm used to being Olayemi. She's Oyinye. This is my wife. This is me. So she's my wife. I'm her husband. But the Bible says, no, we are one. And that is the same way we are also united with Christ. And unless I put that image right in my mind, I cannot please God. He says, for you to please God, you cannot do it without faith. And what is faith? You trust him, you agree with him, you believe him. And so, brothers and sisters, this is the crux. You will now ask me that, how about the unbelievers? If I love other believers because we're one, how about the unbelievers? And the lawyer asked Jesus Christ, what is the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart. Why? He made you. You exist by him. Your breathing is the air is from him. The earth is in orbit because of him. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the royal law. And who is your neighbor? I gave you the parable of the Good Samaritan. So, that unbeliever, you were like him too. Dead in sin and trespasses. Like our pastor preached this morning. You were under the power of the prince of the air. And God, through faith, saved you. So, who are you to look down on that person? Your duty is to pray for them. Pray for those that despisefully use you. Pray for them that hate you. Be like your Father in heaven. He allowed the rain to fall on the good and the bad. And this is our calling. So, when Peter now says, we should no longer live like we lived in time past, but we should live to the will of God. This is the will of God. That we live by faith in his Son. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith in Christ. And this way, we can also stand and not allow the world to conform us. The world had told that woman, your case is finished. You are going to bleed to death. The woman said, no, if I can touch the hem of his garments. I want to encourage us, that same Jesus is in us. We're not defeated because his victory is what we're enjoying. We accept and we live it by faith. Father, we just want to say thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for your word that has come forth. We ask that you help us, Lord, to keep this before our eyes, not to allow it to depart from our hearts. Keep it in the midst of our heart, not to allow it to depart from our eyes. Help us, Lord, to live a life pleasing to you. Help us to walk worthy of you. Help us to guard our hearts, that the word you have spoken to us, the enemy will not steal it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Press the red again.